Robert, what was the inspiration for some of the songs that was in the musical, particularly I Will Be Right Here For You?
Well, that, I think, probably the most difficult song in the whole piece to write, because the trouble is, once you know a story and know how it all unfolds and how it all ends, it's very difficult sometimes to place yourself back at the beginning of the story and write for that character at that time. It's a song that Elias sings to Elsie when Elsie is just, they've both just lost baby John, and Elsie is devastated. Obviously Elias is too, and I wanted a song to show some strength coming from Elias, that he could see how it had affected his wife. I wouldn't say more deeply than him, but again, going back to the research, what I'd done and read about them, that she was really carrying most of the burden of that and blaming herself. And he, in the song, which we'll hear in a minute, I believe, offers her strength and says, you know, things will be brighter, there is a future, you'll see what we will do. But having to write that when then knowing that later on he would be responsible for keeping her inside the institution and not speaking of her and all the events afterwards, made that particular song very difficult to write. And funny enough, I had this same conversation with another writer just a couple of months ago, that it can be very difficult, but you have to do it. You have to place yourself exactly where the character is at that moment in time, where the back of your head is saying, yeah, but they go on to do this and they do that. But you have to, and it can just be difficult. But it's, I think it came out okay. Colin McBride, who sings the song, did a wonderful version of it.
I will be right here for you, always at your side. When shadows fall on you, I will be your guide. Time will be our friend and we will smile again, but now, until that time is here, we'll take it day by day. Slowly as the days unfold, we will make our way. I will hold you near and dry every tear. Dreams come true.
The actor that played Cary Grant,
mm-hmm. Marlon Moore.
Marlon Moore, obviously quite a tall order to play to play such a complex character.
Yep.
What were you looking for in the actor when you were auditioning people?
Very simple. Someone that was had the looks of a Hollywood superstar, that could act very relaxed like a Hollywood superstar, that could play from ages 9 up to 32, so a very slim order, and someone that hadn't been snapped up by Hollywood, someone that we could afford. And we hadn't found anybody, and a member of the cast, someone that we had cast, recommended that we get in touch with this young guy called Marlon Moore. Now, we weren't really looking for a Cary Grant impersonator, but at the same time, he had to be believable. You had to see why the women would be falling in love with him, why he'd have these film star looks. And Marlon has an ease to him, quite a relaxed, friendly style that's accessible. And the wonderful thing that Mo, our director, did, along with Graham Russell, the designer, was the costumes which Marlon was to wear. He gradually became Cary Grant in the costume, if you see what I mean. He starts off as this very tattered, ragged boy, and gradually, as the show goes on, the style of the clothes changes, and Marlon's poise and posture changed as well. And also, we needed somebody that could do just enough of a little bit of acrobatics just to sort of show that this is what he did. So that's quite difficult to find all those things in one person.
Yeah.
And somebody that can sing, and somebody that can act, and I think we really got it right, because one or two comments we had back. There's a scene near the end of the show where anybody that's read a Cary Grant book will know there's often a photo of him in a black coat with a white scarf. It's a look he had quite a long time. And we dress Marlon like that. And the wonderful comment we had from a number of different people was they believed, in the end, they were watching Cary Grant. They got caught up in the story and caught up in the show, and that's all credit to Marlon. And also, he was slim. He had the athletic build that Cary Grant had. So we were very, very fortunate to get him.
The character, Elsie, mm-hmm. who's on at the beginning mm-hmm. for a while, and then again on at the end.
Very end, yeah.
How was that for the actress that played that role?
Very difficult. Again, I think we had two or three really wonderful castings. I mean, we had good casting all the way through, but with Marlon, we had a wonderful casting as Archie, and Kate Banham, who was the actress who played Elsie, really, I think, embodied everything we could wish for from someone to play her. And it's a very difficult role for Kate to play because she goes, within the space of probably about 15 minutes, she goes from this young, loving wife and has to go through someone who loses a child and starts to develop obsessive compulsive behaviour and becomes very detached in the world. And she's only on for 15 minutes. She's on for about 30 seconds at the end of Act 1, which is perhaps giving something away. And then she has one scene 2 hours later, right at the end of the piece. So for somebody playing it, it's quite difficult. But Kate, I think, really found it quite a worthwhile role and really enjoyed the role. And, you know, despite the shortness of the role, I think she got quite a lot out of it. And we were very fortunate together. She was really a great casting.
Another key character in the story is Bob Pender.
Bob Pender. Well,
again, quite a complex, complex character again.
Yes, I never thought of it like that, but yes, you're right. Yeah. Again, we were very lucky. Somebody had seen that we were doing a show about Cary Grant and just turned up. I mean, lots of people had phoned for auditions, etc., and the normal sort of thing. And literally just walked off the street. And we didn't know a thing about him. And, you know, my wife was actually doing the front of house, if you like, for auditions, and knocked on the door and said, oh, there's somebody come along, they've not got an appointment, but would you mind, you know, he'd really like to audition. So in walked this man. So we saw him, we thought, yeah, he could perhaps look right. We asked him to sing a song. And then we said to him, well, you know, what else have you done? And he said, well, I've not done much, to be honest with you. He said, but I was Oliver in the West End, and I was the original Oliver when it first opened in the West End. So he went from Bart to Barham in one many-year swoop. So, Peter Bowes. And, again, he brought a lot of life and energy to Pender. We had him, well, we didn't have him doing cartwheels, he decided to do them himself. And he had a real energy about him that just made the character work. And we were very, very fortunate that for us that he walked, because it was going to be a problem, I think, to fill that. And again, you know, these people have got to sing well, they've got to act well, they've got to be believable. And he seemed to find us. You know, we didn't have to look. And I think by that afternoon, we cast everybody except Archie. So we were very lucky to get him. And three tremendously difficult roles to fill. But I was very pleased with the people we got. And
can I just ask you about the last part of the musical,
mm-hmm.
the last part of the story, where Archie is being quite reflective about life.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you sort of choose to end it on that storyline?
I spent about a year trying to decide exactly what story I was going to tell, because initially I was going to do the whole of Cary Grant's life, and I thought, oh, it's going to be great, we can get characters like Hitchcock in it, and, you know, I can write all these lines, and Mae West can appear here, and it's going to be fabulous, all singing, all dancing. And I thought, well, hang on a minute, you know, that's not the story. The story here is the family story, the family of the mother, the father, and the son. And it's that arc from the time that John Leech is born in 1899 until the time the then Cary Grant returns to Bristol to discover his mother in 1932/1933. That was the story to me that just leaped off the page, that I felt that's the story I want to write about. So although the whole show starts with a very Hollywood style song, a big dance number at the beginning of the show. It ends with simply Archie Leach standing on the stage singing the version of Chasing Fame, where he literally says to himself and the audience, you know, you all know me, you all know my face, but this is the life that I've lived and it's not easy. And just before that, we've had the reunion of mother and son, which again was you know, you could argue that we could have gone on from then and then brought the whole show back up, but to me that was really at the core of everything, was those relationships, and that was how to end it.
How long did it take you to write the musical?
I got delayed slightly because I was ill in the middle of it, so it was, I think I started late in 97, and then the research was very sort of, I'd do a bit here, a bit there, and read through the books, and then, you know, I had an illness in the middle of it, which I didn't do anything really for about 6 or 7 months, although I intended to. And then I got back to it, and then we had the chance to go out to Hollywood and see the collection, so that sort of made everything a bit longer, waiting for that opportunity to present itself, which luckily it did. So it took a couple of years, which they normally do. That was quite a long time, although I have written things which have taken me longer.
The musical, when was that performed?
It was performed back in 2001. And there's another odd... There's many odd stories that surround the show, and just one... I'm just going to deviate for 1 second while I remember this one. We launched the show September 2001. And the week before we were doing the set, and our designer, Graham Russell, had designed a very simple set, but he had these sort of wooden cutouts. One was of Bristol factories, and another one was of the New York skyline. And he'd taken a picture just off the internet and drawn it all out. And we looked at it and said, oh, hang on, the Twin Towers are there. And this was September 1st or 2nd. And we sawed the Twin Towers off. And little did we know, the next week, literally, was when the Twin Towers were gone for real. Just one of those bizarre stories, but something I always remember.
Gives you a bit of a chill, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you did a lot of research into this, trying to find out more about the character of Cary Grant, Archibald Leach. Did you find that learning process continued as you continued to write the musical, as you performed the musical? Is that a continuing learning?
It still is today. My wife will always tell you we've lived at least 5 years with Cary Grant, but it's probably been longer than that. Yes, it still does. I mean, even now, if there's something on television or a film, I have to watch it because it's something I've not seen, or if there's a book. There's very few books I haven't read or know about him. And I mean, we were very lucky again when we were in Hollywood. We picked up 2 or 3 books which were just out of print. And but even now, no, I won't turn down the chance to see anything or read anything. And since we did the show, I've met relatives of people that were in the Penders, and that's how I knew the Roland Dixie story earlier, was that his grandson or something. And we found obituary for Doris Pender, and we did the show in Bristol as well. And when we were there, I met a distant relative of Cary Grant's, which was quite sweet. He came to the theatre, and tucked under his jacket, he had a signed photo of Cary Grant. And there were people in the audience there, a couple of ladies that said, oh, they remembered his father and that sort of thing. So it's an ongoing thing, and it's such a story that it will always interest me. I would never turn down the chance to sort of go off somewhere to find... You know, if I heard there's, I don't know what it would be, but, you know, my wife and I, my poor wife travels all over with me, and we've been down to Bristol, to Hollywood, we've been up to Edinburgh, London, all sorts of places to find out information. And then any time a new book is published about him, I make sure I get it and have a read through. And you know, not to sound, I don't want to sound all-knowing, because I'm definitely not, but, you know, now there's very few things that I haven't seen before in there. But, I mean, I'd like to find out, if I could, more about the Penders. That they really interest me. And, in fact, some time ago, I was sent the passenger list from the SS Olympic, HMS Olympic, which has got Archie Leach on it. which is just, you know, it's just little things like this. And for me, it's also tying in dates, because dates to me are very important. Like, you know, I've got a photo which I've come across, which is from 1929, of Cary Grant and his father. And that, it ties them together in a certain place, so you can go back to the story and just for my own satisfaction say, yes, that's, I can tick that box and think, yes, you know, I'd like to try and get it as accurate as I possibly could. But no, and even if people do impressions of him, like not long ago Alistair McGann was doing an impression of him and
Audrey Hepburn,
yeah. That's it.
Classic combination.
And it's quite funny, a friend of mine had the opportunity to play Audrey Hepburn. I was just sort of quite excited the fact she could come round and do Audrey Hepburn and I could try and do my best Cary Grant. Hello, darling. Which I just thought would be quite funny, us both walking around the house doing these impersonations, which I'd be hopeless at, but she'd be pretty good at.
Do you think you might revisit his story in the future? I mean, do you think that your sort of ongoing learning process about him and his life, will that inspire you to do more work, more musicals, plays?
Well, funny enough, after the first week of the show, I was surrounded by about three or four members of the cast saying, you know, you must go back and write the rest of his life. And I'd get letters saying, you must go back and revisit him again. Why don't you go and do sort of art, or Cary Grant Part 2 sort of thing? And initially I did half think of it, and I thought it would be lovely to write lines for certain characters that were in the show that I wanted to explore more, if you like, but no, I wouldn't now, because I just think that is his story. That is the story that needs to be told, that lets his mother's story out, which I think is important, because that poor woman, you know, all she went through, and lets Elias's story out, who I think basically was a good man, but life got to him, if you like, you know, in various different ways, and how he coped with that. And I think to go back and not have those characters involved, even though the mother, Elsie, would be involved in the rest of the story, obviously, doesn't appeal to me, because I think that, though, the years that it covers were the formative years of his life, so although at first I did sort of have a glimmer of interest, I wouldn't touch it now. No, and in fact it's reflected in my writing now that I don't like to go back to things now, I just like to go on to do something totally new and new research. But Archie is the one that I will pick up something and look at always. You know, on the internet, I'm always looking on YouTube for any little things that might not have been seen or interviews. But he did very few interviews that are on film. There's one or two. I've got one or two in print here, which we were lucky enough to get. But that's a long way around to say no, basically.
If you were on Mastermind, do you think you'd be confident about specialist subject being Life and Times of Cary Grant?
Well, as long as they got the questions right. I would on the years 19... In fact, having the conversation today, and to be honest with you, I kept thinking, I must go back and read a few things, and I didn't get round to it, and I'm surprised how much I do remember. So it's there in the... My wife has a very good story that we were at a party once, and I started telling somebody the story about it, and it seemed to me a minute later she was coming back and saying, we really must go. And we're on the way out, and she said, you know, you've been talking to that poor chap for an hour and 20 minutes. So it would be interesting, yeah, it would be interesting. I'd have to sort of study up on it again, but I think I could do reasonably well, but only up until 1933, because that's what really interests me. Although I've read the other stuff, in my mind it's sort of gone in and gone out, whereas the other stuff has stuck. So, do you want to get the chair and start asking questions?
I'll do that.
I think you'd be very good at that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.